separately, we have no f-ing chance whatsoever. So either we're in this together, or you can kiss my ass. Thanks. Have a good day, fellas.
Wait, now, who is that guy?
That's a former head of the Pro Bowlers Association from a 2006 documentary called League of Ordinary Gentlemen.
All right.
He gave a speech at the beginning of the season, and they were talking about revenue, and it just got me fired up.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Vince Petrano taking a couple of days off. Been texting with him, though. He's in town. It's one of those staycations where he plays a lot of golf, spends time with family, plays some tennis.
I think he was at the game yesterday, I think.
He was at the game.
It is taken.
It's funny. I always tease Vince because he works even when he's off. So I'm still expecting to see him in the office one of these days, just showing up because that's just in his brain. But that's okay. And I don't mind someone like that to work and partner with. So Vince is back on Monday. That's Mike Spalding. You heard he is in. Adam Roberts is in for Debbie Lazaga. And Greg Pancake Hill taking care of everything, producing the big show for us today.
So we've all been there, right? Spending some evenings, birthday parties, I don't know, league maybe. Talking about bowling alleys.
Oh, yeah.
The American bowling alley, though, Eric, is not what it once was. The Midwest's favorite sport and one that the New York Times has called the most popular participation sport in the country. About 70 million Americans say they hit a bowling alley at least once per year.
Okay.
Well, America's favorite non-baseball pastime is at a crossroads. Like small businesses across the country, alleys are getting gobbled up one by one by major corporations that are looking to parlay the $5 billion industry into a part of their portfolio. Of the 3,700 bowling centers left in America, you'll notice a name that's plastered on the side of hundreds.
B-O-W-L-E-R-O.
Yeah, Bowlero, the publicly traded company, owns 350 bowling centers across the country, and that number grows daily. Mike Jakubowski works alongside the Pro Bowlers Association. I had a chance to catch up with him and talk about the state of bowling, not only in the Wisconsin or Milwaukee, but across the country. Look at it like movie theaters a little bit back in the 70s and 80s, where every community had their movie theater. I feel like the same thing with bowling alleys. And I don't know if it's just me anecdotally noticing, but it feels like that is less and less as far as the mom and pop alleys and lanes go. Is that the case, or is that just my perception?
It's a mixture. There are still independently owned bowling centers, and there are corporate bowling centers. And what has happened is there's just been an explosion of sports and sporting things to do since that same time period. So anyone in the bowling business has had to do things that were never thought of before. Having specific cool food items, leaning into the different cosmic and lighting displays, and adding video games and laser tag and other things. So to me, it's an industry that, it very much like every other industry, has had to adapt over the last four decades.
And if we're using the allegory for the movie theaters, that's why the Marcuses and the AMCs exist. And in the bowling world, you can get AMF lanes, you can get Bolero's a major one too. You get sort of the conglomeratization, I guess you would, of bowling. What effect has that had on alleys? Because I know sometimes it can get very expensive when you're thinking of a dollar an hour bowling. That doesn't exist seemingly as much as it did.
Everything is more expensive. And to have all of those things exist as either an independent operator or as a corporate operator with multiple locations, in my mind, places that can stay open are golden. And the market will decide where people would like to go spend their time and spend their dollar.
Is there something to be said about bowling in a small alley, though, that has like six lanes?
Yes! Yes, there is. I was just in one. We had our PBA Tour Finals at a place called Steel City Brews and Bowl in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And some very innovative owners, Lee and Chris DeSant, have taken this place over, 24-lane center, and have completely remodeled it. And there are places like that here in Milwaukee. A Bayview Bowl is a good example of one of those. But yes, because it's such a unique event. And it's akin to walking into a ballpark and seeing that green grass and immediately being taken in by why you're there. A similar feeling when you walk into any kind of bowling operation.
How important is that price point for bowling to maintain? I think the New York Times said 70 million people say they go to a bowling alley at least once per year. How important is that price point? And if it is more of a business model where it's, you know, the McDonald's of the world take over bowling alleys, does that stick? Does that price point stick around, or does it start to phase people out, do you think?
The wider circle, sure. There's a large number of people that might stick their head in the bowling center once a year. And then you get those concentric circles that define the serious league player, the birthday parties, the other type business that things bring in. And I don't know that you can survive as a bowling operator, as an independent or as corporate, without entertaining the notion that you need to have four or five different constituencies that can fill your leagues, can bring in some corporate business, can do some other things. You add a volleyball court outside. You have your own wing sauce because you're bringing in people to have something to eat afterwards.
Staring your crystal ball for me. 15 years from now, does the charming bowling alley as a model still exist as it has?
I believe it will. I believe that there are enough people out there that want to have the type of product available that would attract people that would want that sort of thing. And I'm also looking at 15 years down the road. What does our cell phone look like? What is the next level of digital entertainment? What is the next Netflix thing that we haven't even thought of yet? And will the thought that I want human interaction, I'd like to be physically active, I'd like to incorporate some of that. So not only am I thinking about bowling, but I'm also thinking about everything that surrounds bowling, because all that other stuff has just as much impact on what could be a bowling experience 15 years from now.
So big thanks to Mike Jakubowski for chatting with me. And yeah, the story was interesting because I read a blog post about private equity in bowling. And the first thing that came to my mind was the Bolero signs. And like, it's what you see all over.
Right.
You rarely see. And he mentioned Bayview Bowl. Like there's like JB's on 41. There's all these local places. And I feel like bowling is so traditionally held. Like you have these visceral reminders and memories of what it is. Sometimes it is, yeah, global and things like that. But you know, it's like you can see the wood walls.
Yes, of
and like
course.
The same balls that get used
yes.
over and over and
the
over
sounds,
again.
The pop of the pins.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. Bowling is not dying at all, not even close. It's actually, according to bowl.com, one of the fastest growing high school sports. More than 5,000 schools offer boys and girls high school bowling programs. 48 states have high school bowling as well.
No, when I hear private and equity together, though, that always makes my skin
you know it's
crawl.
Usually not good. And you know, not to bag on the private equity firms, but you know, when you do have one place that is gobbling up all these other ones, if you don't have an alternative to go to, then what's the motivation for them to try and make the lanes as good as they possibly
right.
can or
right.
lean into the kind of the traditional mm-hmm. bowling? So yeah, thank you.
All right, 821, thank you, Mike.
Together, we got a chance. Separately, we have no f***ing chance whatsoever. So either we're in this together, or you can kiss my ass. Thanks. Have a good day, fellas.
Wait, now who is that guy?
That's a former head of the Pro Bowlers Association from a 2006 documentary called League of Ordinary Gentlemen.
All right.
He gave a speech at the beginning of the season, and they were talking about revenue, and it just got me fired up.
Sighted Unlimited, WTMZ News Time, 8:26 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
I'm Kristen Kish, and this season, we're shaking things up.
We're in Wisconsin, but what do you think we're going to see this year?
You know, going into Wisconsin, going to Milwaukee, there's going to be cheese, there's going to be bratwurst.
I need dairy.
And beer.
And a lot of beer.
Yeah, Top Chef rolls on. So there were two episodes left as of last night. Big watch party, as always, at Zocalo in Walker's Point. Watching to see what would happen with Chef Dan.
And that chef is...
Dan. Chef Dan Jacobs from Dan Dan is moving on. So Dan will now be in the final episode next Wednesday. The final episode, the Top Chef... could be a local guy from Milwaukee. So as you know, WDTMJ's Sandy Max hits these watch parties. On Milwaukee puts them on. This one at Zocalo in Walker's Point there. And she spotted a familiar face in the crowd.
Introduce yourself to everyone. You're going to recognize this voice.
Hi, I'm Gentleman Farmer Gene Miller, retired.
And you're here at the Top Chef watch party.
Exactly. Well, it's my son. I got to be here for that. It was a whole family thing today, so you just kind of sat in together and took it all in and absorbed it all, and glad to see Dan's moving on.
I say, have you watched any of the other episodes?
I did. I watched like the first five, and then I kind of bowed out, but now that it's getting to the finale, you got to be there because, you know, we got skin in the game, local skin.
And it's so exciting when he said, I'm excited to represent Milwaukee. I'm excited to represent Wisconsin. And the whole crowd cheered.
It did. It was like being at Lambeau Field or, you know, Pfizer on a game-winning three. It was amazing.
Will we see you here next week for the finale?
I think my wife will insist on it. You know, happy wife, happy life.
Excellent. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Take care.
Gene Miller on with Sandy Mack. So, okay, so as far as Chef Dan goes, will he win $10,000? Right now he's got a 50-50 shot. So it's basically between Dan and Michelle. And they do have a chance for people can vote on the Bravo website. So you can find it there. Also, Sandy Mack will have much more on What's on Tap tonight, 6 p.m. right here on WTMJ. Hey, don't forget, we have a chance for Brewers tickets, virtual baseball in about 20 minutes from now, a little bit less than that, about 15 minutes from now. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to American Family Field. The headlines are next. .37 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead in for Vince Vetrano. Vince is back next week. Mike Spaulding is here. Summerfest kicks off here shortly. Three weekends of fun in the sun on the lakefront, of course. And I found this very interesting. So Gary Witt, who is the head of the Pepsi Theater Group, was in the building on Wednesday. He joined The Upswing, Jeff Sherman's program, 10 a.m. here on WTMJ Monday through Friday. And Witt brought up the idea of, okay, maybe Summerfest should consider throwing after parties or even closing early in order to allow venues across the city to enjoy and reap the benefits of all these people that are in town, all these music lovers. And he got this idea from Lollapalooza. So Lollapalooza is kicking off its takeover of Grant Park with a series of late night after shows at venues around the city. So it's not only just at Grant Park in Chicago, it's also going to be at some venues across the city. So, you know, sharing the wealth, so to speak. And obviously, you know, it would benefit Pabst Theater Group if this were to take place. But Gary Witt suggested that maybe Summerfest should consider something similar.
In theory, Summerfest exists, one of the reasons to be able to grow and develop business in the city of Milwaukee. So the fact that Summerfest closes as late as it does pretty much causes all the business that takes place in Milwaukee other than hotels that take place at Summerfest. So Summerfest, I believe, should act more like Lollapalooza. Other than the main stage at the amphitheater, the rest of Summerfest should close at 10 o'clock and they should host events downtown in Milwaukee. And we're not thinking about this for our venues only. Right. It should be at restaurants and bars and coffee shops where artists can appear. And it becomes a real experience for people who travel to the city of Milwaukee to then experience the rest of downtown. Because if you think of Summerfest as like a giant game board, basically the entire city tilts down towards Summerfest during that period. Restaurants close completely during those windows of time when Summerfest is here. Yeah. So I think if it was to follow the Lollapalooza model, they should, yes, close at 10, and there should be after shows there because they're not just serving themselves.
Interesting theory. A lot to go on with that. I think one thing to point out, though, first off, is that Chicago is just a lot bigger. So that Chicago can pull off having large after parties and whatnot at several venues. I think, in fact, according to the Tribune that I was reading on this, more than 20 venues around Chicago are going to be doing some type of act or having some type of after party show during Lollapalooza. That's a lot. I mean, obviously, it's a huge market compared to Milwaukee. I'm not sure if it would necessarily benefit Summerfest to shut down early, especially when they can bring those artists in and people can walk from one to another. But the idea of raising the tide for the entire city, I mean, I can respect it.
I love it in theory. There's also a different crowd, though, that goes to a Lollapalooza or a Coachella or something like that than goes to Summerfest.
That's true.
And I think Summerfest has been very on point with branding itself as a festival that anyone can go to. Kids, you don't see a lot of babies at Lollapalooza or something like that. You do see them at Summerfest. I think they do get a lot of foot traffic during the day. Now, if the pitch is, hey, we can get some bands and we can keep the lights on at some places after Summerfest, how many people walk back from the Third Ward? You'd see the Warner Theater lights lit up and it says, you know, X ambassadors here tonight. I think that is a really great idea in theory. I don't know if we have the population to support it, but I mean, the innovation thought is there.
It's not going to happen, but the thought of it, there is something there as you try to raise the entire city and take advantage. You know, what is another way to take advantage of our biggest summer staple, right? And this is one way you could consider something like that, something happening in Chicago. It's 8:42. We need a player. We need a contestant. We need to send someone to a Brewers game. Your shot at a pair of tickets to see the Brewers at American Family Field. If you are caller number 8, you can play virtual baseball 855-616-1620 on the WTMJ talk and text line. Caller number 8, your chance at a pair of tickets to see the Brewers, 855-616-1620.
This is your chance to be a professional baseball player.
People still don't recognize us.
For 5 minutes. Virtually, of course.
We're contenders now.
Welcome to Virtual Baseball on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Play ball!
That's right. Your chance at a pair of tickets to see your Milwaukee Brewers. Virtual Baseball sponsored by Siding Unlimited. It's Siding and a whole lot more. Honest pricing guaranteed. Visit SidingUnlimited.com. Joining us on the WTMJ Talk and Text line is Steve from Hales Corners. Hello, Steve.
Hey, good morning.
Who's your favorite brewer?
I'm a fan of Yelich yet. Still old school, but good leadership there.
Right, good. All right. All right, Steve, here's how the game is played. You will be playing against Mike Spalding. If Mike wins, you don't get anything. If you win, you get a pair of tickets to see the Brewers. So here's how it's played. We have 20 Brewers highlights. They're labeled 1 through 20. You and Mike will each select 3 highlights. Your score is determined by the number of runs that are scored in the highlight. So if it's a 3-run home run, that's 3 runs for you. If you get a double and you leave someone on second, there's no ghost runners or anything like that. That just gets eliminated. You want the highlights that score the runs, and you want to be Mike Spalding. So would you like to either be the home team or the away team?
I'll take the hammer. I'll take my outs.
All right, so you're going first?
No, I'm going out. I'll take second.
Oh, okay. All right. Mike Spalding goes first. Mike,
it's a brave move, Steve.
Let's see. What are we doing? What's first?
I'm going to go number one.
Number one today is Bryce Terang.
Brewers trying to get something going offensively. Tim Mesa getting loose for the Blue Jays, the left-hander.
It's dramatic.
First offering to Terang. Ground ball back up the middle. Diving for it is Kiner Falefa, but it's into center field. First to third goes Perkins. Brewers have him on the corners for William Contreras.
Nothing right there. Okay, right, so that, right, that was right. A nothing burger. Man, come on, Terang. You're killing us. Okay, so 0 for now. Next batter.
Well, let's go 10.
Number 10 today is Blake Perkins.
All right, Perkins has been red hot. 1-2 pitch. Lined into the gap in right center field. That one going to split Ciani and Walker. It bounces all the way to the fence. Blake Perkins chugging into second base. That's where he puts on the brakes. A leadoff double.
All right, leadoff double ain't going to help you.
Nope.
So no ghost runners, no runs scored. What's next?
Let's split the difference and go 5.
Number 5 today is William Contreras.
Fly ball center field. Fletcher still back, and it is caught! Oh, my goodness.
It's the dead balls. It's the dead balls.
All right, well, yikes. All right, so that he goes 0-for-0 there, Steve. So all you have to do is scratch one across, and you get yourself a pair of tickets. All you need is one run. Where are you going first?
I'm going to go with Robin Young, number 19.
Number 19 today is Rhys Hoskins.
The 2-1 pitch. Drive in the left field. Dahl is going back. Dahl on the track. Dahl at the wall. Goodbye, Philadelphia.
There it is.
Rhys Hoskins. The walk-off.
Well done, Steve. You just won yourself a pair of tickets to see the Brewers. I'm going to put you on hold, Steve, and we'll get you lined up there with pancakes. So congratulations. Way to walk it off there in one hit.
Thank you.
Man. Mike,
I got all the outs for him, though, which is good. So I'm going to take the assist on that one. Sacrifice fly, if you will.
All right. Your chance to win a pair of Brewers tickets, virtual baseball next week. Thank you to Siding Unlimited. And if they, I don't win, it's a shame. Because there's a one, two, a three strikes to have at the old ball game. Yeah. Blue Jays have been playing very good baseball themselves coming into tonight. Breaking ball, and the bat flies out of the hands of Guerrero Jr., and it sticks in the net above the Blue Jays dugout. It is probably a good 15 feet in the air, stuck in the net above the Blue Jays dugout. They say you see something you've never seen all the time in this game. You never know what you might see when you come to the ballpark, and that's a new one for me. Seen plenty of bats fly out of the hands. Never seen one stick in the net that high up the net before. And they're just going to play with the bat sticking in the net. So a new bat for Guerrero Jr.
Adventures in Science continues at American Family Field. They have added a ring to try and dislodge this bat. They got it around it, trying to pull the bat down. They have it secured right now. It's a fish on a line. And it's down! Oh! Redemption!
They did it.
It's down, and now the hook is stuck. You can't make it up, folks. You cannot make this up. The bat is free. You saw that happen live, folks. That was not a recording. Oh, magic.
Forecast sponsored by Dave Dray Camp Heating. Your comfort is their family's tradition. Warm and humid today, a high of 86. There is a chance for showers or storms later on this afternoon. Some of them could be strong, so keep an eye on that. Tonight, clear, becoming cooler, a low of 61. Friday, sunny and gorgeous, a high of 77. A couple of the stories that we're following today. One of them is going to take place tonight. MPS School Board going to hold a meeting tonight where it could vote on next year's budget. Board's also expecting to consider candidates for interim superintendent. And also, the board will hear from concerned citizens. Yes, there will be some concerned citizens expected to voice their opinion on the board. This after all the financial issues we've been dealing with. In fact, there is a group already now collating to recall four members of the board.
All of this essential information being hidden from the public was the ultimate betrayal and manipulation. They asked us to dig deeper into our pockets for a school district and a board of elected leaders that have been irresponsibly managing our funding.
So the group is planning to submit the paperwork for that recall this morning, and you can bet that they will be there tonight at that board meeting. So that's happening. And then nationally in Washington, former President Donald Trump's going to meet with some GOP lawmakers. This is going to be the first time he's been on Capitol Hill since the insurrection. And a couple of those officers who were there that day are going to join Steve Scafidi in the Political Power Hour next. 8:56, anything on the program you missed, you can always text the word Vince to the WTMJ Talk and text line 855-616-1620. The word Vince, and we'll send you everything we did today, yesterday, the day before, the day before, the day before. You can fall into the rabbit hole of all things Wisconsin's morning news.